The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Breaking news.
Pink Blank is making a comeback.
Oh my god, is that Suya?
Do you like K-pop?
Yes.
What do you
or
mean
yes?
My bias group just disbanded?
Pop or flop? Boys That Sing, newest
comeback. Did you hear about Worldwide
Is this over
solo?
For their careers?
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Are you ready to be canceled?
Hello everyone, welcome back to Canceled. We are back, canceled 2024. Let's go. This is the podcast where I'll be spilling tea about the latest K-pop news and my crappy takes on the ever-growing industry. My name is Kevin and I'm the main host of the show. For updates, go check me out on Instagram at _kevst. That is spelled K-E-V-S-T-E-A. I'll be posting about the podcast and other things I'm working on, so please check me out. As you could tell, I'm kind of sick. Story time. I've actually got sick back in the starting of the year. What a great way to start the year, am I right? And it's... let me just turn me up there. It's honestly just a mess. Like, I got this sickness out of the blue. Like, I think I was skating with my friends over the holidays, and then suddenly it's just like, oh, here you go. Here's a cough that won't go away. But I tested. It's not COVID, so that's good. But... this cough won't go away. I've taken Halls, I've taken cough syrup, like nothing's freaking working. But trust me when I say this, but like, my cough has gotten better, like a lot better from the past few weeks. But like there was a certain point of time where I stopped coughing, but then it came back. Yay. What a great way to do a podcast. I mean, right? Just coughing into the mic. But regardless, whatever. Okay. So we're back. Let me just start with this. If you notice, if you're watching by video or even just the presence of the podcast so far, but I'm actually alone right now. This is going to be one of my first podcasts that I'm recording alone. And I think that for Canceled and for this podcast oncoming, I want to do some solo podcasts just because I think I started this podcast with the intention of, oh, like, I get to talk to people about K-pop and be passionate about it. But I haven't really actually gotten a chance to just sit on myself with my own thoughts and just talk and ramble on for so long. You know, this might be the most interesting thing for you guys to listen to, but please bear with me. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. Okay, so how am I doing? I told you how I'm doing. I'm fucking coughing. It's a mess. I'm free. I'm coughing. It's a mess, but whatever. It's okay. But something's going on right now. Like, I'm actually still in university, like I said, and I'm actually applying to the TMU K-pop club. So I submitted my application for that, and I'm just hoping to get in so that I can help out with the team and get to know new people and get to meet some mutuals around for my K-pop mutuals. And I mentioned before, I have some goals for the podcast, which is, you know, I want to start solo podcasting more just so that I could get my thoughts out and I could just do whatever I want. I want to start posting weekly, and I think I'm going to do that this semester. However, with that being said, that means the podcast episodes will probably be a bit shorter just because, you know, I don't want to exhaust all the K-pop content for just like every single episode, am I right? Because, you know, there's only so much you could talk about, like, and I don't want to get into, like, some petty news, because all I care about right now is, you know, just the music and the music, because there's, oh my god, I'm so excited to talk about this episode. Okay, shut up, Kevin. Okay, so let me go on a tangent now. So I've been watching this new K-drama. I wouldn't say new, it's been ongoing for, like, the past month now, but I think you could guess already, but it's Marry My Husband. Oh my god, I freaking love this show so much. I started watching as soon as it came out. I think when I watched it, it was like 4 episodes out already. But I've seen, or what actually got me started to watching it is I saw a TikTok of one of the main leads tripping the main antagonist. So Jiwon was tripping Seosmin to get revenge on her. And that was such an iconic moment. And the way that they portrayed it, you know, like the past, you know, Jiwon got tripped initially and then food fell on her. But then in the current time, oh, sorry, I should have gave you spoiler warnings. I'm so sorry about that. But yeah, spoiler warning. And now in the present time, you know, Ji-won has all the knowledge of what happened to her 10 years ago. So from 2013 to 2023. And so she's just like recollecting all the things, or remembering all the things that happened that Soomin did to her in spite of her. And now she's just getting revenge on her slowly and slowly so that she can live the life that she wanted. And it's such a great story. I actually haven't read the manhwa. I had a friend who actually read the manhwa, and like, it was pretty good from what she said. And I'm really excited to finish the series. I will say one thing though. The actor for Soomin, I don't know her name, but she is such a good actor. I watched, I think it was episode 8 a few days ago, and it was so good. Like, Ji-won and Soomin were like fighting for the flag thing, and then like, I don't know, she does this thing when like she's irritated where like she twitches her eye and then like gives a smirk, and like, you know, usually like if I do it, it's gonna be freaking cringe, but I just did it to the camera, I'm so sorry. But the way she does it, it's just so good, and like, it really meets like that expectation of like evil but like sinister, because you know, I think Soomin herself knows that she's being evil, but like, she's making it real obvious to Ji-won, who now like knows everything that happened, right? But oh my god, 10 out of 10 manhwa. I totally recommend reading it or watching it, whatever it is. And it's honestly what I look forward to every week now, so please watch it. And now moving on, I know we're going really fast, but because I just really want to talk about the main meat of the show. So actually, JYP got some debuts going on. So a debut and comeback. So Vicha, if you didn't know, I think I talked about Vicha in the first and second episode of the podcast. They were in the JYP survival show. I don't even call it what it's called. I think A2K. Yeah, A2K. And, you know, the girls actually finally debuted with an actual comeback song instead of, like, the ones that they did from A2K. So they came, they debuted with Girls of the Year, and, oh my god, I love it a lot. This is not the song review for the podcast, but I really like it because it's on brand to their image, first of all. And also, it's because it's just such a great debut song for them, because they came from, honestly, like, they came from nothing to something, like, really fast, and the way that they're debuting at the start of the year is just the cherry on top, because I think with this song and hopefully the future releases that are to come, I think they're gonna do a really great job in the industry. And I hope, I don't know, like, for them, like, I don't know about their audience still, like, they're promoting to K-pop fans, but they're still singing in English, so I feel like that's gonna be like the thing for them, where, you know, they promote in Korea, but then like they try to do out things internationally, because I feel like they don't necessarily have the largest Korean audience, and especially with JYP, I feel like their company and their artists don't really cater towards the Korean fan base as much anymore. So that's really interesting. And then for ITZY's, ITZY came back with Untouchable. I'm untouchable. I'm still learning to dance. It's a really good song. I like it. It's the first comeback with a member missing. Leah is actually one of my biases. And, you know, it's sad to see that, you know, mental health got to her. And I think that's an interesting discussion to have in future episodes. Or maybe I'll even talk about it right now, but, you know, like, K-pop is really toxic, and I think ITZY especially had kind of a really bumpy road in the past year or two, you know, with coming from a high from Loco and, you know, their previous releases before that, and then they suddenly dropped Sneakers, and then, you know, everyone knows the hate they got with Sneakers, but I don't think it was that bad. But what should I say? Where is it going with that? But after they came back with Sneakers, and then, sorry, after Sneakers, they released, I think it was, what was it? Crazy in Love? No, not Crazy in Love. Cheshire. And then, like, Cheshire came, and then Bet on Me came. I forgot. With Cake. And now they're back with Untouchable. And I feel like with those releases, like, to me, they're kind of losing their identity a bit. Like, I'm not the biggest ITZY stan ever, but I did love their releases when, you know, pre-sneakers. And even, I do like sneakers, but I think they wavered their identity so much that they've lost, like, all their casual listeners, and they lost, like, also a bunch of their core audience, their fans. So it's really tough to, it's really sad to see, and I bet Leah is, like, thinking about that, too, and the whole group is probably thinking about that, too. But I did think Untouchable, like, met my expectations. There were some parts that I felt like could have been mixed better, or like some parts didn't flow with one or the other, but either way, it was still a pretty good song. I have on my playlist. I do like it. Hopefully it stays on my playlist for a while, but I think, you know, with ITZY now, it's hard to say, but yeah. Speaking of ITZY, actually, they're actually going on tour, and I'm really excited. I haven't considered if I want to go or not yet, but I'll see. Hopefully Leah's gonna be back on tour, but if not, I'm probably not gonna go. But yeah, so that was that. That's all I wanted to say about, you know, just catching up, me on a tangent. I think I'm gonna call this segment, like, Kevin's Tangents, because, you know, usually I talk about K-pop news if I have a guest in, but if I'm by myself, like, I don't want to talk about no news. I want to go on a tangent. Okay, so for the main event, y'all, today, as I'm recording this, it's January 29th. It's 2:45 p.m. That means G-Idle's second full album, 2, has dropped. Oh! I've been waiting for this release for so long. Why did Cube have to hold it for me for so long? Oh my god, Cube, I hate you. Okay, so they dropped it today. I woke up at like... I actually woke up at 3 a.m. today. Or last night, but then I just fell asleep because I knew I had class today. I knew I had to, you know, keep my sleep schedule intact because, you know, school's still going on and everything. So I woke up at 3, I had to pee, and then I wanted to stay up until 4, but then I just fell asleep. But then I made sure to wake up at like 8 a.m. to watch this comeback, and, you know, I'm gonna insert my reaction right now. So if you're watching this on YouTube, go look at that. So yeah, that was my reaction. I just kept the highlight parts in. I hope you guys enjoyed that. But when I tell you, my jaw dropped to the floor. I heard that the budget for this MV was actually like 1.1 billion Korean won. So I was, oh my god, that's insane. And to put that in perspective, that's like, I think it's like around 800K in USD. So, oh my god, they really blew the budget with this, and I'm really happy for them because they deserve like the best. And you know, with like G-Idle, they usually have such like a strong message in their music videos, and to have that budget to tell the story, I think really made this MV like really shine out. But I'll get into that. So the title track, Super Lady, dropped, and I was on the floor, dead. Okay, period. Slayed. I'll break the song one by one. So firstly, also, if you haven't listened to the song, what are you doing? I'm a G-Idle fan. I'm a Neverland. Watch the song right now. Listen to the song right now. Oh my god. 10 out of 10 song. Okay. So, okay, I'm kidding. I'm exaggerating. But, okay. So intro, okay, that was actually a 10 out of 10. I love, like, the, this is so iconic, but also, like, so cheesy, but also, like, so second gen on theme, like, because that's what they're doing, right? They're kind of going on, like, the second gen revival theme. But, like, the car engine starts, and then there's that, like, bass. It's so good. And then, oh my god, Soyeon's voice is so powerful. I am a top super lady. Oh my god, I love it so much. They so slayed for that. I love that they're trying something new for this comeback. Usually, I've noticed that with Soyeon's writing, usually she has like either Minnie or Soyeon starting the song. If it's Minnie starting a song, that means, you know, it's gonna be like really like poppy, and like that's gonna be like the main thing for her. And if it's Soyeon starting the song, that means it's like usually like a really like strong song. And this definitely like brought the strong. So Soyeon came in with her like really belty vocals in the beginning. Love that part. And then, Minnie's rap that came into it afterwards, like, ooh, like that, the way they mixed it was so good. Because after she sang, like, I think, I am a god lady or I never die, Patchy, something follow me. And then it went like, biggie, biggie, boy, boy, boy. And like, with her dreamy vocals, but not just like that was such a terrible explanation. But the way like Minnie's vocals come in, like usually she starts off with like the dreamy, like, hey, yo, my bonnie. But this time she came in with a dreamy rap, which I think like a lot of people will probably underestimate that just because like it's the rapping, so they don't pay attention too much since it's like going faster. But like I really like that part. I love Minnie's voice so much, especially when used for the intro. 10 out of 10. Great job, Soyeon. Great job, Minnie. And then moving on to like the pre-chorus and like the continue the verses, like Mian. I did not know I needed red hair Mian until she debuted with red hair Mian. If you're watching this, I'm assuming that you might have seen the concept photos for it. They're so pretty. Oh my god. Oh my god. Especially oh my god, you guys have to see like that winter concept photo that they take. Oh my. Oh my god, I'm straight for and the way I see it, you know, going from the verse to the pre-chorus to the chorus, I was not expecting that drop for the chorus. Like I felt like it was gonna be an anti-drop, but I didn't expect that kind of anti-drop where it's just like lady, you know. And then with that being said, like I think the first part of the song, like the first minute was like really solid, and then for me, like it kind of like, you know, got repetitive towards like the second part. And then, like, the outro, I think, was one of their weaker outros, in my opinion. But I still liked it, especially Soyeon's rap. I feel like the spin between, I think it was Oogie singing, and then it was Soyeon's, like, really fast rap. But it was so short. Like, I wish she held that rap for, like, just, like, a bit longer. Because I think that would have, like, not only, like, made the song longer, but also, like, put on that twist. Because I feel like I needed like a break from like the really energetic like bass. And oh my god, but then the Mian following afterwards, that like I, oh my god, I love the way they contrast their voices so much. Like, oh, it's so, oh my god, it's so good. I'm like actually going crazy just talking about this. But yeah, so, and then the chorus and then the outro again. Like I said, I feel like the outro was a bit weaker in my opinion. For me, like out of the three outros that they've been doing so far, like with Tomboy, Queen Card, and Nude, I think Tomboy was obviously the strongest just because of that instrumental, like I can't whistle. And then like Queen Card for me was second because of like the chanty, but like in that case, like the chant works. Same with Nude, right? But I think like I just think the rhyme scheme is like better for those three. But for this one, I think like the rhyme scheme like kind of didn't work because they kind of like use sir as a way to repeat it, and like the super, like super power, super natural, super super woman, and then super blank. I think like it didn't work too well in my opinion. So like for me, I've just been like, ever since the song came out, I've just been like replaying just like the first minute of the song, because I think that's like the part that shined the most. But I liked it. It's pretty good. Okay, I have to go fast. But so moving down to the B-sides, I think the B-sides this time around were like on the more weaker side. But to be fair, like I've only listened to each song like maybe once or twice, because you know I had to record the podcast. So but I think over time, if I keep playing it more and more, I think I would definitely enjoy it more. My favorites on this track were definitely Fate, also like the Korean title, I think it was like Nanin Napin something. And then Minnie's tracks are really good, like Vision and 7 Days were one of my favorites. When the audio snippet came out, I actually had a prediction that like I probably would like 7 days the most. And I was right. 7 days is definitely the best. But for me, I think I was most let down by Doll because I really liked the Doll snippet. But then, like, it didn't have that same energy that I had when it first played for me. But I'll keep listening it. I'll see if I like it in the future. I'll give you guys an update for next podcast about my thoughts about it. Just because it's, like, you know, it's so fresh in my head, right? And then Wife. I cook cream soup. Tastes is Cocoroco. I did not like the song at first. Okay, I think that goes to say for everyone. But then as I kept listening to it, I was like, wait, why am I moving my head? Why is this kind of a bop? But yeah, so Wife was great. But I think for the overall criticism of the album and like the songs, I think it's fair now when I say, like, people say the songs are too short, which they definitely were. When I first saw the lengths of the tracks, like, they were all like 2 minute and 30 seconds. And I was like, oh my God, like, girl, this is like a full album. I know you guys produce your own stuff, but like, you guys need to like at least make the songs a bit longer so that the playtime is longer. Kind of like I Never Die. Like, I really liked I Never Die because the album was so cohesive and I feel like I got enough of each song to get like the story and the message that they're saying. But for this track, for this album, like, since the songs are so short, I feel like each song has not been fully realized enough. Like, some of them, like, they needed like a bridge and a proper outro to go out on, especially like Revenge and Doll. Like, they kind of just, they, you know, they had their 2 minutes and then it was like, okay, we're done. And I'm just like, oh, that's it? I know with the trend of like making songs shorter so that they can, you know, get more plays and everything, but I, like, it's so sad to see, just because I think these songs could have been really good had they had a longer runtime to like fully realize the song. So that, I think I was like quite disappointed this time around. But overall, I think the comeback was solid. Super Lady's a bop, and I think it's gonna be runway status for me. But for now, like, it's a head bop. But I'm sure as I play it more and more, it's gonna be like a runway status, especially like that first minute. Like, if they kept the energy and like how good the first minute was onto like the second portion of the song, I think definitely runway status instantly. Because I know for like, for me, like, Queen Card, instant runway status. But like, yeah. So I think I need to wrap it up now. I have only like a few more minutes left, so I'm gonna say my spicy question. I'm just gonna answer it like just like my small thoughts, and then I'm gonna wrap it up. All right. So now moving on to the spicy question. I don't have much time left, but I'll try to give my go at it. So I think as a G-Idol stan, Neverland, I need to ask myself, how do I feel about Soyeon's writing and her English lyrics? For me, I think that it's honestly like not the worst thing ever. Like, I have many instances where I needed to like look at the lyrics for a bunch of songs, not just K-pop songs, but also like Western music as well. Because like with all music, I think like, you know, you gotta look at the lyrics to fully understand and like what the artist is trying to like compel. And I think with Giada, like the way Soyeon's writing her English and also like how she's pronouncing it, I think she's like obviously doing it on purpose, because you know, we've seen tracks from her, like they literally just released an English EP that you know, it's an English EP, and like her pronunciation was actually like good there. So I don't know, like, I think it's probably just a marketing strategy. I would love to elaborate this on more, but I am running out of time, so I do have to wrap it up. So please let me know, guys, like what you thought of the solo episode. I know it's a bit short. I could have went longer if I had like everything set up faster, but unfortunately I had some technical difficulties. But yeah, like, let me know if you like the solo podcast. Let me know what you want to talk about in the future. And yeah, so remember to check me out on Instagram, and I will see you guys later. Bye bye. Stream 2, stream Super Lady.